Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? Is not he who formed the ear worth the time it takes to hear? Listen as he speaks through living parables that must be heard. Parables that must be heard.
Well, it is August, and we continue our study on the series of the parables of Jesus. He who has ears, let him hear. Our scripture reading today will come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 841. We'll be reading verses 19 through 31. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there, longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames.' But Abraham said to him, 'Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there.' Then the rich man said, 'Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home. For I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so that they don't end up in this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote.' The rich man replied, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God.' But Abraham said, 'If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead.'" The parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Pretty sobering picture of the afterlife, isn't it? I think there's a few things we can learn from this parable. First of all, no matter what your place in life, I think one thing's clear: death will come to us all. We're told in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, 19, as mankind is receiving the curse from God, he says to Adam, "By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." So this curse of death came as a direct result of our sin. And because we are descendants of that first man and first woman that sinned, we also inherit that same curse that one day we all will die. In Psalm 39, verses 4 to 5, the psalmist writes, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is just a breath." And the Hebrew writer said in chapter 9, verse 27, Each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. And that's what we see in this parable of Jesus here. Luke did not record any preamble to this parable, and he didn't have any postscript to it. But Jesus laid this parable out to teach some real things about this life and, more importantly, the life after. And so one thing is clear, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, whatever your station in life, Scripture teaches that death will come to us all. I think another thing it helps us understand is what we do in this life determines how we will spend eternity. The rich man couldn't really understand why he was suffering because he was used to a life of ease. But in the afterlife, he was in a place that he didn't like at all. There was great torment and great anguish. The poor man Lazarus had nothing, and yet in the afterlife, he was brought comfort. And so as Luke records this parable of Jesus, we see that luxury in this life doesn't necessarily mean luxury in the next life. And being poor in this life doesn't necessarily mean we'll be poor in the next life. But there was great disparity between the life of the rich man and the life of this poor man. In Isaiah 58, verse 7, we're encouraged to share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless, to give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. And this is why we support missions locally and globally that help in these things. But it's also why we're involved in doing things like the mobile food pantry and in other things that help people in our community to remember those who need help. 1 John 3:16 through 19, the apostle writes, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth so that we will be confident when we stand before God." What powerful words and encouragement to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. And we're told in James 2, this amazing passage, verses 14 to 17, James is talking about the difference between having faith and having actions to back it up. And he says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister has no food or clothing. You say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? You see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." And you know, these passages, I think, are pretty convicting for those of us who live in what is considered the wealthiest country in the world. And even if we don't do particularly well living here in the United States, we are way better off than the vast majority of the world. And this parable that Jesus told should give us great pause, because this rich man was suffering in the midst of flames all around him. He offered no mercy to Lazarus during his life, and unfortunately, he would receive no mercy in the afterlife. He was conscious of the different destinies in the gulf that separated them. And this is a rare picture that Jesus gives us into the afterlife, that somehow people on both sides of the chasm could see one another. It appeared there was even some communication possible, but no one could cross. And his thoughts turned towards warning his brothers. He was so unhappy with where he ended up, and he cared enough about his brothers that he wanted to send a warning to them. And I think the other important thing that we see in this parable is once you pass through death, there's no more opportunity to tell others. And I think that's the most applicable thing that we can take out of this parable today. Once you cross over, there's no more opportunity to tell others. It's pretty chilling what Abraham told the rich man. He said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. The writings are in Scripture. Your brothers can read what they wrote. But the rich man was convinced that if Abraham would send Lazarus back to warn them, somebody who came back from the dead, they surely would repent. And Abraham replied, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't even listen if someone rises from the dead. This kind of parable in this kind of sermon is not very popular today. We don't like to talk about the eternal destiny of hell. Oh, we like to talk about heaven and we hope that we will make it, right? But we don't like to talk about the other place. But I have a question for you today. Who has God put in your life that you need to tell about Jesus? And I kind of wonder, how will you tell them? I think that's one of the saddest things in this parable, is this man lived his life without regard for the things of God. He died, he ended up in a place he didn't want to be, and he didn't want certain other people to be, but he couldn't tell them anymore. And I bet if he knew before what he knew then, he would have lived a lot differently. Now, 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 says this, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. So I'm going to come back to those questions. Who do you need to tell? If you were to die and pass over, who's left that needs to know? Who would you want to tell? And even more importantly, how would you tell them? You know, as I have served in churches over the course of my life, there have been many people, when they have somebody that needs to know the Lord, oh, you need to go talk to the preacher. And even though that person doesn't have a relationship with the preacher, that's often what the friend or the family member says. But there's nothing more powerful than people who follow Jesus to always be ready to explain the hope that they have. Now, some of you have been worshiping with us for quite some time. Some of you are a little bit newer to the fellowship. But I want to remind you that this is one of the reasons that we make available what we call discipleship training. The Great Commission tells us that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. And the best part is, Jesus said he'd even go with us. But our mission is to make disciples. And the truth of the matter is that once you leave this life, there's no more opportunity to make disciples. And so we have put in place an opportunity for you to learn how to do this, and we do it in relationship. And it starts with people meeting together to read God's Word. And through the discipleship training, we learn how to pass that message on, and we learn how to grow and make disciples. And this continues throughout our church family, and it can reach out beyond in our community, until more and more people come to know Jesus. But this is not just the work of clergy. This is the work of the entire church family. There's an amazing passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, when Paul is writing and he says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. There's apostles and prophets and evangelists and the pastors and teachers. And he doesn't say that their responsibility is to do ministry to people and for people. That's often what people are taught when they come to church. That's often what people expect when they come to church. But the Scripture actually says that the responsibility of the leaders is to train and equip God's people to do His work. And so, as we've asked these questions today, who do you need to tell and how will you tell them? I want to encourage you. There are some people in our fellowship who have been through the discipleship training and are equipped. But if you're here today and you've not gone through that, I want to encourage you to talk to me about it after service, and we can help make that happen so you can be equipped to tell the people that you need to tell because you already have relationship with them. Again, this is a challenging parable for us to hear today, but Jesus kind of takes the curtain back from the afterlife and gives us this picture of this man who had it made here on earth, but he lived with regret in the torment and anguish of the afterlife. The thing I think tormented him the most was knowing that there were other people he cared about that did not know Jesus, did not follow Jesus, and he wanted them to know. So my challenge very simply for you today is this. I want to ask, who has God placed in your life that you need to tell? Many times it's a conversation we put off, but we're not promised tomorrow, are we? So who has God placed in your life that you need to tell? In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said this, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Very convicting words. Who's God placed in your life that you need to tell about Jesus? And then secondly, are you prepared to tell them? Discipleship training equips you to share your faith. I want to tell you about a friend of mine that some of you have met because she and her husband have actually visited our church before, and her name is Virginia. And Virginia, when I met her, was nearing retirement, and she had been an elder's daughter growing up, and she lived her entire life, and she told me she had never brought anybody to come to know Jesus, mostly because she didn't know how. Nobody'd ever taught her. Lance and Virginia went through the discipleship training, and afterwards, she prayed, "God, who do I need to tell? Who needs to hear this?" And one day, she was at work, and one of her coworkers came up and said, "I just turned in my notice to retire. In 3 months, I'm out of here." And Virginia said, "That is great." And then, out of the blue, this lady who had never had a spiritual conversation with Virginia said, "Well, I guess there's only one other question that I need to have answered." And Virginia said, "What's that?" And the lady said, "Am I going to make it to heaven?" And Virginia said, "You mean you don't know?" She said, "No." "Do you?" And Virginia said, "Yes." And she said, "How do you know?" And Virginia told me, up to that point in her life, she would have told her she needed to go talk to the preacher. But because she'd been through the discipleship training, she was equipped and able to tell her friend the gospel message. And they sat down at a food court on Wednesday nights, and they went through the discipleship training, and Virginia was able to share her faith with her friend. She went through the training and got equipped and then prayed for opportunities, and the Holy Spirit dropped it right in her lap. And the same thing can be true for you, my brothers and sisters, as well. Many of you know that I'm a fisherman, but if you only have one hook in the water, you can only catch one fish. But if we all are equipped to fish, we can bring a lot more people into the kingdom, and that's Jesus' desire for us, so that people that we know don't end up like this rich man in anguish and torment and living with regret. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, this is a hard parable for us to hear today because we can most readily identify with the rich man. We live in the wealthiest country of the world and pretty much have the things that we need, and beyond that, things that we want. And it's really easy to turn the other way to people who are in need. But Lord, help us remember the key principles from this parable, that death will come to us all, that the way that we live in this life will affect the way we live in the next life, and that once we pass from this life, there is no more opportunity to tell others what we know about Jesus. So Lord, help us to understand your heart for helping those who are lost, for bringing them to faith and trust in Jesus. And Lord, for those who are already equipped through discipleship training, we pray for opportunities. But Lord, I pray for those that aren't sure what to say or what to do or how to explain the hope that they have in Jesus, that they'd consider going through the discipleship training so they can be ready and equipped to explain the hope that they have in Jesus. And Lord, help us as we think about those you've placed in our lives, and we may be the only one that's positioned to tell them about you. Give us the courage and give us the boldness to speak out on your behalf so that others can be saved from an afterlife they would regret. Lord, today's the day. There may be somebody we need to speak to today or this week. Help us to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to share the words we need to share so that others can know Jesus too. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
Can you